just go, rah, I have faith in you. Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody is well. It is a gorgeous day outside. It's a gorgeous day to have the opportunity to be able to come together and spend time gathering around the word of our Lord and Savior. As you're here this morning, give everybody a what we call a welcome these days. Look around, wave at somebody. And by the way, give them a smile if you can, a thumbs up. You know, one of those things along the way that folks will know. If you're part of our online community, we encourage you, say hello. Let Dr. Gant know where you're watching from, or say hello to somebody else that you see in the feed. You're part of our church family as well. Those over in the sanctuary, and those that may be outside today, either in the parking lot listening on the radio, or over in the lawn enjoying some of that gorgeous sunshine today, we welcome you to Central Baptist Church. We trust and pray that the Lord is going to move in your heart and spirit and in truth, and that he will draw you close to him as we take these times and opportunities. Just to let folks know, today was the first day we started back. Kelly started back over in the sanctuary with his Sunday school class. So I think it's a combination of three of the classes are meeting in the sanctuary at 9:45 on Sundays, but they're also doing that as a hybrid class. So if you've been a part of that class, you've been tuning in online, you can still do that, but the class is actually coming back together, meeting in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. Today was the first day, so we look forward to seeing how things went, and we encourage you, come be a part of that. Kelly's a phenomenal teacher, and if not, we'll pick his brain a little bit harder. That's it. We'll challenge him along the way, but at any rate, we're glad you're here. We did have a great opportunity yesterday to come together and play in our first of whatever we hope to be an annual golf tournament out at Forest Oaks Country Club. We had a lot of golfers. It was like 50 some golfers that came to play in that. And just so that folks will know, first place team was Matthew Fuller, Matt Long, Derek and Stu. Second place team was Jocelyn, Jamie, Sergey, and Bradley. Third place was Curtis Smith, Dave Smith, Ron Sizemore, Alex Williams, and then, of course, on the longest drive, that was Matt Long at right at 300 yards. I didn't come anywhere close to that. And the closest to the pin was Curtis Smith at about, on a par three, he was about 3 foot out. So we're going to be looking to play again next year. We hope, trust, and pray you'll be able to come and be a part of that. We just had a great day, fellowship one with another, and we look forward to having that opportunity to do that once again. Let me start us off in a word of prayer today, and then we will look forward to gathering around the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you for this opportunity. Father, we pray that we won't take for granted the times that we have to be able to get together, Lord, to lift you up. Father, to hear your word, that the Holy Spirit may work in our hearts and our lives. Father, we're reminded on a daily basis that man can't do anything. Father, we're nothing and no one without you. Lord, your Holy Spirit must speak to our hearts, and will do so through your word. Father, your word tells us where two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst, and we're grateful for that. Lord, we pray that today we will truly give ear to what the Spirit would have to say to each and every one of us. May you draw us close. Lord, may you draw the lost to you. Father, we pray that today we would leave this place differently than when we came in. Lord, those that are tuning in, we pray that your word would just permeate who they are, that we will truly hear from you this very day, and that we will be changed because of it. Lord, again, I just pray and ask that you would use this, your servant, today, that you and you alone truly would be exalted and lifted up. And so we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, lover of our soul. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Chains are broken when it's spoken. Every knee must bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all they need. Your name is all we need. Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need? And he's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Good morning. We're going to be looking at passages out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. As you find that, I do want to remind folks, please continue to remember the family of Winnie Lewis in your prayers. as Winnie went home to be with the Lord this past week, and we have several that we really need to continue to lift up in our prayers. Miss Edith Eatman, she is actually going to be going back to the rehab. She'll have to quarantine there for a couple of weeks. Don't forget Judy Brazil. We've been praying for Miss Judy. She has also had a setback in her health. And then Shirley Chavis will be having some surgery this coming week. So please remember those folks in your prayers. And as we go forward this morning, yeah, there's so many things that the Bible tells us, and you hear it all the time. But when the reality comes around, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we really, really ready? I mean, how many times have you prepared for something and it didn't turn out to be anything like what you thought it would be? How many of you can think about that? You sit there, you get as prepared as can be, and then all of a sudden you find out this is not what I thought it was, or I spent all this time in preparation, this is not what it was. Are you prepared to face the challenges that are going to come to you as a believer? Now, that's a pretty tough question, because many of us would sit here today and say, oh, yes, I'm ready to face that challenge. Mainly we can say that because we're not in the midst of facing a challenge. It's easy to say that when we don't have a challenge right in front of us, isn't it? Yeah, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I think I got this. I'm prepared. I know how to go forward. I know what to do. But then what happens is when we hit the challenge and it seems like we fly all to pieces. Or it seems like we will back down from the challenge. Now, today's passage is not an unfamiliar one. Today's passage is one that we have probably remembered or known from the time that we were a child in Vacation Bible School or Sunday School, or even folks who may not have had the opportunity to be raised in a church. Most of you know the story of David and Goliath. Yeah, we've probably gone over that. You see all the little flannel graphs. I'm kind of aging myself right there. And all the things that we talk about, David and Goliath. But there were some things that I believe are important for us and aspects for us to understand besides the regular part of the story that we all know. There are some things and some qualities that David had that I think are paramount for you and I to be able to survive the challenges that come our way, specifically in regard to our spiritual life. Now, we know what was taking place in that story. Here's David. He's a little shepherd boy. He's believed to have been in his teenage years. He has brothers that are part of the army, you know, Israel's army, God's army. And they're being challenged by the Philistines. Now, as you know, the story goes, it says they had gotten to this point where I will call it a stalemate. They had gotten to the point where they were face-to-face, and you know how that is. It's a whole lot different when you become face-to-face with something. You can talk, as they say in the athletic world, you can talk trash about somebody all day, but it's different when you're lined up across from them. So the Philistines and Israel's army would line up and face one another, and essentially they would trash-talk each other. You want some of this? Come get me. Here I am. Come on over. They did this for 40 days. Now, I don't know about you. We live in this real impatient society, but 40 days of that, at some point you'd probably say, can we do something even if it's wrong? I mean, that's like a month and a third that every day that's what they went out and that's what they did. Now, so David's brothers are part of Israel's army that's taking place. Now, David's daddy sends him up with a care package for his two brothers. He gets up there. David is that guy. He's like, oh, okay, babe, they're getting ready to go out. I might be able to get to see some action on this thing. So, yeah, he's excited. I mean, it's like he's got a front row seat. He's going to see some action. He is going to watch God do something incredible. Did you get that, what I just said? David's heart, David's mind, David's attitude was he is going to get to watch who? God do something incredible. So he's excited. He gets down there. He is expecting to see Israel, God's army, do something incredible. And what does he see? He goes down there and he sees what many would consider to be a cowardice act. Goliath, the Philistine, the 9 feet, 9 inch tall giant, comes out and says, somebody come up here and challenge me. And as excited as little David was, he's sitting there thinking, oh man, God's going to send, you know, one of the guys, he's going to go out there and whip him, and God's going to be the victor. And that's not what he saw at all. What he saw was Israel's army turn around and cower and begin to go back. And he was shocked. Does it shock you today when we see a lack of faith regarding our God? When we see a lack of belief that God can, that God will? Specifically when God has told us, and specifically when God has given us specific directives in his word that says, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, I will take care of you, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Why is it that when we become faced with challenges, we just seem to fall apart at times? Maybe that's you today, maybe it's not. But then what happens is, look at verse 24, 1 Samuel chapter 17, 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Now, this was Goliath. This was the challenge. All the men ran away from the challenge, and it tells you in the Word of God the reason why was because they were afraid. Not because the Lord says, you need to go back and do this. Not because the Lord said this was a strategic part of something that was taking place, but because they were afraid. Now, little teenage David is sitting there on the edge of his seat. Maybe he has his popcorn. He's thinking this is going to be good, and all of a sudden it's not. All of a sudden, the army that he had so much faith in because of God is turning and running. And then as we go down, he gets to this point, verse 26, where he says this. He says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done with the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, let me put this in perspective. Probably something that you may have not heard in a sermon preached on David and Goliath at this particular point. Here's this teenage boy, remember, he's not part of the army. He is a little brother of a couple of the guys in the army. And all of a sudden, he makes this tremendously overriding statement that was heard by those of importance. And he said, well, so what happens to the guy who kills the Philistine? And he goes on and he puts it in perspective. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to bring a challenge or should defy the armies of the living God? Now let me put this in perspective. I think this is a quality that every one of us need to have. David was upset about the fact that here was somebody, in this case Goliath, who was defying God. Folks, when is the last time that you and I got to the point where it made us almost angry that our God was being defiled? Well, you know, some of us have been pushed to that point before. You've been in circumstances in your life where somebody comes up to you, whether it was on the job, whether it was your family, whether it's your children, whatever it may be, and they come and say, oh, well, this is what we're going to do. And you're like, uh-uh, absolutely not. That's it. I've had it. That's enough of this. I'm done with this part of it. We will not be doing this. You put your foot down. You draw the line in the sand. Now, have you done that before? Work someplace like that, you're like, uh-uh, it's enough of this. You've probably said, that's enough of this foolishness. This is insane. This is absurd. But when is the last time that we did that in regard to the person of God? When is the last time that we stood up? Now I'm going to take a quick survey here. This is a scientific survey that I'm going to do this morning. You all online, you participate as well. You can put a thumbs up. You can do whatever. But when it comes to a circumstance or a situation like that, how many of you have ever been in a situation like that where you have had enough? Now, I'm not asking you how you reacted to it. How many of you have ever been put in that situation where it was a straw that broke the camel's back and you were about ready to draw the line? Okay? Three of you. No. Okay, good. Now, yeah, we're starting to see it. You're waking up. The coffee is kicking in. online, over in the sanctuary, outside, let's see a hand. Nobody's going to blame you for being charismatic or anything. It's all good. Most of us have been there. We know what that's like. Now comes the question I'm not going to get you to raise your hand for. How did you react to it? Did you just walk away? Now, there have probably been times that you did both of these. There may have been a time when you just said, well, I'm just me, and everybody else has a different thought or a different opinion, and I don't like it, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm just going to walk on and disappear into obscurity, and I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. Now, you've been there. All of us have done that. Then there has been a time or two in your life where you have said, no, I am done. Now, it's hilarious because you can imagine the looks of the people. I mean, you can probably remember it because most of us have been there before. Nope, that's not going to happen. If it happens, it's going to happen without me. I refuse to be a part of this. I am not going to take part of it. And people are going, they didn't expect it. They didn't expect pushback. Well, folks, the world is pushing God's people. Every day, every circumstance, every situation. And you know why? They have been, the world has become comfortable pushing God's people. You know why? Because we haven't pushed back. We haven't said, uh-uh, no. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, remember the perspective of what's taking place here. This is a teenage boy who is standing in the midst of the greatness of Israel's army. And he says, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, what's the matter with you people? Listen, the reason why is because, and you better have the right reasons. This word, if you'll look at it throughout the text for the sake of time, I'm not going to count them out, but how many times does it say that they are that the Philistines are defiling God, going against God's people? And David, this little teenager, comes up and he says, well, what happens with the person? Now notice again, verse 26, the latter part of it says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now in verse 28, we begin to see what generally happens in society. His brothers look at him, and I guess they're embarrassed. But his brothers look at him and is like, don't you have something better to do? Who do you think you are? Listen, you're not even part of the army. We got this. We're trained. We know how to do this. What gives you the right? Shouldn't you be doing something else? As a matter of fact, he's saying, who's watching the sheep? Yeah, go back home, thank Dad for the cheese and the goodie basket and the care package and all that, but go home. Little urchin, go. You ever been there before? Which side of that were you on? Yeah, David, what, don't you have something better? Who gives you the right to stand up in the middle of this serious conversation, in the middle of this serious matter, and spout off at the mouth? I mean, don't you get what's going on? Don't you see the size of this guy out here? Don't you see all of his pretty little medals and recognition for all the people that he has killed in battle? And you expect us to go up against him? This is what David's saying, what's the reward for taking this guy out? But remember the reason why. David drew a line in the sand, not because of who he was, but he drew the line in the sand because of who God is. That is your critical point right there. It's not because of who you are, but it is because of who God is. And we have to remember who we represent. Now, as we go on with that, notice verse 29. Yeah, after David's brothers say something to him, verse 29 says, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? What did I do? What did I say? Y'all, all y'all coming at me, you're telling me I need to go home and everything. What's the matter with you people? What have I done? How many of you have ever done that before where all of a sudden somebody comes at you and your attitude is, well, what have I done now? Husbands? What have I done now? Trust me, she'll tell you. What have I done now? You know, you've been at work. All of a sudden, you get called to the office, and you don't go in there. You don't go in there thinking, "Oh, well, this must be a raise or a promotion." Usually, your thought is, "What have I done now?" David's like, "What have I done?" Yeah, look, I'm just telling you. And then he goes on. He says, "Is there not a cause?" Do you know what that translates to? Is this not important? Is this not a circumstance where we need to stand up? Most of us today would sit back and we'd say, we weigh things out by importance. Well, this is not important enough for me to stand on. And let me give you the term that we often use. We'll weigh out whether or not it's a hill worth dying on. Y'all have heard that term, hadn't you? Well, it's not a hill I'm ready to die on. That's not a hill worth dying on. Whatever the cause may be, is there not a cause? And what David, as a teenage boy, was trying to express to those who should have been telling him that, he says, there's a reason for this. There's a reason this needs to be done. There's a reason we need to stand up. There is a reason. Why are you all running from this guy? He has openly defiled God. Has God been openly defiled in the United States of America? How about on a day-by-day, almost moment-by-moment basis, God is being defiled? And I believe with all of my heart, God is waiting for his children to stand up and say, I'm done. This is a straw that has broken the camel's back. But then we start to look at, well, what's it going to do to me? Is somebody going to say something to me? And here's the thing. Here's the hard part. Sometimes you're going to stand by yourself. No, his brothers, the ones that should have known him, the ones that should have loved him, they were trying to shoo him off. And then he gets down there. The word gets back. He says, well, you know, what have I done now? And it says, verse 30, it says, then he turned from them toward another and said the same thing. These people answered him as the first ones did. Verse 31, now when the words of David, the words that which David spoke were heard, they reported to Saul, and he sent for him. Uh-oh, we got a bunch of tattletales. This is what David said, and it got to King Saul, the commander of the army, the big one of valor. Remember the perspective. David is a teenage boy. And what does Saul say? Bring him up here. I need to see him for a minute. I got to find out what's going on. So what does David do? Does David go, ooh, look, boy, I got to tend the sheep. I got to get them. No. David, with courage, went to see the king. Now, people would sit back and say, well, he didn't have a choice because that's the king. And if the king sends for you, you go. David went. He was like, okay, I'll go see him. That's fine with me. I'll go talk to Saul. I'm going to remind you a lot through this message that he's a teenage boy, okay? And then what you have is you have King Saul, you have the mighty warriors of Israel, and so David, little teenage David, goes to King Saul. Verse 32 says, then David said to Saul, let no man, now get this, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Don't worry about it, Saul. I got this. I'm going to take him out. Don't let your hearts fail. It's not a problem. Y'all don't have to even worry about it. I got this under control. I'm gonna be the one that's going to go take him out. Now, I want to say this. I believe that David was a little bit mad about the fact that they were defiling God. When is the last time we got mad about this country or other people defiling God? What is our normal reaction? Well, I just don't like what they're doing. I just wish they wouldn't do that. But yet we never do anything about it. It's kind of like when you get pushed. If you get pushed, and there's no pushback, what happens? You get pushed again and again and again. And then some people just fall right in line because they're like, oh, here comes the one who's going to push me. Let me just go on and take it. It is time for God's people to stand up. That is exactly what this passage is about. David was mad at the fact that there was somebody who was defiling God, and he was willing to do what needed to be done to take care of the situation, even if it meant he went by himself. And guess what? I've read the end of this story. You have too. He went by himself, didn't he? You think the army charged down there to follow him and say, all right, David, I'll tell you what, let's go do this. I'll be right behind you. No, that's not what happened. Now, later on, once they saw that God had shown up through David, then they became who they should have been earlier. Then they charged after the army. Then they stood up. Now, remember what I said, this silliness had been going on for 40 days. David says to Saul, I got this, not a problem. Verse 33 is very telling. Verse 33 says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he is a man of war from his youth. How many times have we been in that situation where we're sitting back going, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll go do this, and somebody says, you can't do this. You're just a teenager. You're not trained. You don't have what you need. You know, this is insane. Come on. How many of y'all have ever had that sort of resistance? Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You're too young. You can't do this. You're not supposed to do this. What is the big problem in this particular scriptural passage? It is the same issue that Israel had from the very start. They forgot who they were. They had forgotten the promises God had made them. They had forgotten the fact that God is with them. They had forgotten the fact that God is leading them. David said, you're not going to sit there and make fun of my God. I don't care if you're 10 feet tall. You're only 9'9". I don't care if you're 9'9". My God is bigger than your God. My God can whip your God. You keep running your mouth like that, I'm going to show you how my God can whip your God. Now, you know what would happen today? We would sit back and say, well, now that goes against what the Bible says about Christians being meek and mild. Let me tell you something. The same God who is loving and caring and meek and mild is the same one who says, saddle up your horses, we're going to war. He is the same God who will spank your tail. And I think we've forgotten about it. I hear that from people all the time. Well, yeah, I can't believe a good God would do that. Yeah, he's good, but you got to remember, too, that a good daddy is the same one that will spank your tail and discipline your behind when you get out of line. Amen? See, everybody thinks that God's some genie in a bottle. Let me tell you, the same one there will spank your tail. He'll warn you. How many of y'all ever had that happen? God says, oh, just like your mama or your daddy, hey, don't do that. And then you're like, what did I just tell you? Don't do that. Now, let me tell you how it went in my household. You would often hear this. That's strike two. Now, you don't have to be a genuine athlete to understand what strikes are in baseball, right? Now, if you don't get it, if you got two strikes, it's what they call being behind in the count. Because how many more do you get? You get one more. And when strike three happens, bad things happen, don't they? On the baseball diamond, you go sit down. In my household, I can't get into that. That'd be a different story for a different day. I've often used the term, I would get the Board of Education applied to the seat of my learning. So it was always a warning, strike two. God is long-suffering, but God's patience will run out. and the one that should have been, listen, if I'm with an army and nobody else wants to do the job and somebody volunteers to do the job, what do most people do? Go ahead. I'm not going to do it. Doug, you going to do it? I ain't going to do it. Tim, you going to do it? Tony, you going to? And then JD says, well, I'll go do it. We're like, go ahead, brother. Go on, man. And finally, that's what happened. But you know what? Here's what happens. I was like, well, he's young. Come on, man. We've all seen more life than him. We've been in a few of them battles. Look, man, I got cut right here on that thing. I got scars from that stuff. But, hey, you know, if he wants to go, let's let him go. Something's got to happen, and none of us are going. Well, let's just let him go. But even so, you know, Saul said, you can't do this. You can't do this, David. He's a man of war. You're just young. Verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And he goes into this explanation about what's going on. Now honestly, there's not a really good comparison there when you think about it. But what he's saying is, he said, hey, man, look, I'm a shepherd. Let me tell you what I've done. He said, here's the deal. When I'm watching my daddy's sheep, there was a lion that came in one day. And there have been bears that have come in. And when it took one of the sheep and took it away, I chased it down. And I love what it says. It says, I got that lamb out of that lion's mouth. And it says, then it turned on me. Lion turned on me. And I grabbed him by the beard. I whacked him on the head and took him right on out. Now, that doesn't really relate to war to a degree, but let me tell you, how many of y'all have grabbed a lion by the beard and whacked him down? I don't think I'd want to sign up for that duty, do you? And he said, I did that with a bear too. You know what he was doing? He was sitting there saying, look, I got some skills. Come on, man, give me a break. I've seen some battle. It's just a different kind of a battle. But here, listen, you got to understand. When I was doing that, I was defending my daddy's sheep. This time, I've got a little bit of a different thing going on. I've got God going for me because God said he'd be with me, just like he said he would be with y'all. They have defiled God, and I'm not going to stand for it. So I'm just going to go out there and whip him because that's what God wants done. And the rest of y'all are going to sit here on your blessed assurance and do absolutely nothing about that. Well, as for me, I'm not going to have people going out there talking about my God that way, defiling my God that way. I'm just going to go take him out. I'm sure Saul's going, okay. Let's see what he does. He gives his story there. In verse 36, he says, your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. I'm going to grab him by the hair of his chinny chin chin, and boom, I'm going to take him out. That's what I'm going to do to 9-foot-9-inch Goliath. Probably all the guys going, yeah, okay, right. All these gallant warriors are scared to death of this guy, but yet you're going to go up there and whack him out. Verse 37, moreover, David said, and this is key. Verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That right there is the key to what David did. That is the key to this passage. He didn't go do it in his own strength. He didn't go do it because he was just itching to fight because he liked to fight. He did it because he was defending the honor of God Almighty, who had given Israel the promise that he would take care of them. He had told them that when you go up against your enemies, you will be victorious. Now, guess what he did? Here's what David did. David claimed and believed the promises of God. Do we claim and believe the promises of God today? Now think about that. Before you answer that, you need to think about it. Because if we do, we won't cower like Israel. Because if we do, We will stand up in the face of the challenges, which, my friends, if you don't see challenges going on in this world today, things that are challenging God Almighty, things that are challenging the Christian way of life, I didn't say religion because religions are a dime a dozen, but things that are challenging God Almighty and the Christian way of life, you will see them multiple times even today if you will open your eyes and if you will look. It is time that God's people became like David and said, I'm not having this anymore. Now, am I telling y'all to go out there and fight somebody? Well, no. You'd be in jail calling me for bail money today. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is time that we fought the good fight of faith, the fight that we need. We need to get into battle. We need to stop messing around with this thing. We need to stop letting people talk about our God the way they do. Defile the God that we love and serve the way we do, the one who is calling upon us to stand up for him. It is time that we got a little bit mad about what's taking place and a little bit mad about what's going on to say, that's not going to happen. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. The one that's going to do that to you is going to be 9 feet, 9 inches tall. The one that's going to do that to you is going to be a gallant, decorated warrior. The one that's going to do that is going to look like you can't win. But folks, with God, you can't lose. But you got to remember why you do what you do and who you do it for. And David simply says in that passage, the Lord, verse 37, who delivered me. Has God taken care of you? I got to ask that question. Has God taken care of you? Has God provided for you? Do you actually see that God has provided you the financial resources that you have? He's given you the home that you live in, the roof over your head, the shoes on your feet. The food on the table, the joys of life, all these things came from God. Now, a lot of people sit back and say, oh, I just worked hard for him. Well, you know, there's a lot of people I know that are good, hardworking people that don't have near what I have or what you have. God has blessed us beyond all measure. And notice what he says. The Lord, not me, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. That's kind of funny when you think about it. JD, go, and the Lord will be with you. Guys, let's come watch. And then we get to feeling a little bit bad, you know. Doug feels a little bit bad because JD's his son, you know. So he's like, I tell you what, I got some armor. You know, we've used the armor before. Let's see if we can suit him up with it. Let's see if we can, let's put this armor on JD. Now, the interesting part about it is, by the way, Saul was a pretty big fella. Saul's a grown man. Saul's also a gallant and decorated warrior. See, he starts putting his armor on little David. And I've often wondered what that view must have looked like. Yeah, you know, he starts fitting him up with all the stuff, and he's got this helmet, and it doesn't work. How many of y'all have ever tried on something to somebody else's that didn't fit? I've had it go both ways, you know. I have a small head. I picked up somebody else's helmet one day, and I could spin it around on my head. I thought, that's not going to be good if I get hit out here in this football game. I've also put on a pair of breeches that look like sausage casings. Yeah? Know what I'm saying? I've done that before as well. Listen, it doesn't work when it's not for you. So all of a sudden, Saul starts decorating David up in his armor. And David's like, man, this don't work. I mean, look, man, this thing is too big. This is not for me. You know, I can't hardly walk in this thing. It's not working for me. And I love what he did. He's like, okay, Saul, look, man, thanks. I appreciate it. Doug, thanks. Appreciate you wanting to loan me that. But I'll get whipped in this thing if I have to wear it because I can't even move. Matter of fact, this thing is so sloppy and loose in the arm, I can't get my sling going. Oh, you mean you're not going to use my spear? No. You're not going to use my sword? No. I don't know how to use those. So he gives the armor back to Saul. He says, look, I'm going out there with what I got. I'm going out there with what God has given me. I am going out there with what I have. Now, this is a completely another sermon for another day, but what's God given you? What tools has he given you? What is he calling you to use for his honor, for his glory? Now, getting ready to go into battle where there were swords and spears and there were the defense short swords. They had this military armament which all of Israel had. And David's like, no, I'm going to use what I've got and what I'm best at. That's my slingshot. Okay. You're going to go after a decorated warrior giant with a. It says David went over to the brook and he got him 5 smooth stones and he put it in that bag. He didn't sit back and write out his last will and testament. Verse 39, he said, and David told Saul, I can't walk with these, for I haven't tested them. Talking about the armor. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones, verse 40, from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag and in a pouch which he had and the sling which he had in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Goliath stood out there and said, this is all you got? You send a boy. You send a kid. You didn't even send me your best warrior. You send me a kid. Hey, as a matter of fact, he says, you come at me with a stick, because David had his shepherd's staff. He said, you come at me with sticks like I'm a dog? What he did was he made Goliath mad. Goliath's like, you're not even going to send somebody out here that's really going to give me a challenge. Looky here, boy. I'm going to kill you. Your carcass is going to be out here for the birds to eat. Would that be intimidating coming from a 9-foot-9-inch giant that's got a bad attitude for the day? I think it would. I mean, look, I'm 5'9". Hey, Goliath. And he says to me, I'm going to kill you, boy. I got to admit, I'd probably be a little timid. I'd probably be a little bit afraid. I mean, this cat's done this before. I haven't. But what are we looking at? Are we looking more at the warrior? Are we looking more at the storm? Or are we looking more at our God who says, and in his case said, I will deliver you. Here's the good part. He says that to you and I every day. I will deliver you. You just have to have the courage to stand up. I like what David said. After Goliath got done having his little rant so that everybody could hear, after he got done showboating, verse 45 says, then David said to the Philistine, you come at me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Woo! What? Now, remember what he said. He told him everything. He told him why. Basically, what David said is, now, Goliath, I'm going to kill you today. And here's why, because you have defiled the armies of the living God. I'm sure that made Goliath even more mad. Notice what it says. For the sake of time, it says that he took that one rock and that sling and he spun it around in his head. Now let me tell you, I don't know how good of a slingshot slinger that David was, but I know how good he was that day. Let me make you a promise. That sling was twirling at probably 3 or 4 times the rate that it normally would. And when he let go of it, the accuracy was probably far better than any accurate shot that David had ever made before in his life. Let me tell you why. Was it because David was a good slingshot guy? No. It was because God said, David, let me show you how you do this.
probably looked like a helicopter rotor going around at that point. And when he let that go, that sucker might have even been breaking the sound barrier. Let me tell you what I know about it. I know that according to the Word of God, it says the stone hit its mark right here in the forehead of Goliath. And the Word says, and it sunk in. Ooh. Ow. Think about it. He had a big rock that just sunk into his head. And you know what the result of that was? The result of that was big old Goliath going boom and just falling down. The result of it was Goliath falling to his death. And then it says this. It says that David went over and took his sword, Goliath's sword, cut off his head and was holding it up to him. That's a pretty brave teenage boy, isn't it? Guess what happened at that point? Israel's army's like, whoa, we best get in the fight. And it says, then they charged the Philistines. Folks, I believe God is looking for a few Davids who have had enough of society defaming and defiling the living God. He's looking for those who will stand up and be counted. He's looking for those who aren't afraid at 5'9" to look at the giant of 9'9" because he knows where his strength comes from. The 5'9er knows his strength comes from God, not from himself. There's not been a giant yet that God cannot defeat. But what is the attitude. See, when we follow God, that's when victory comes. Verse 47 says this, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Talking to the Philistines. And so it was, verse 48, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistines. Then David put in his hand in the bag, took out a stone, slung it, struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. You know why? Because David had had enough. Talk all the trash you want about whatever you want to, but you're not going to talk about my God that way. You're going to see a different side of me when it comes down to that. Because it's worth fighting for. It's like our country, our freedoms, they're worth fighting for. Our religious freedoms, they're worth fighting for. And we have come to a day and age where if we don't, we're going to lose them. Now, what do? We sit back. I think many of us think we're just Davids. I'm just a teenager. Lynn, go, come on up. We'll have our invitation in just a second. Many of us just think, well, what can I do? I'm nobody. Oh, see, there you're wrong, because with God, you are somebody. God is saying, look, and you're like, well, I don't have the tools. I can't do all these things. God says, I will provide you. I will equip you with what you need to do. I have been doing that from the beginning of time. The question is, will you use it for my honor and my glory? Will you be willing to stand up and be counted? Folks, I believe there's a time when God's people need to stand up and be a little bit indignant and say, no, we're not going to do that. That's contrary to God's word, and I'm not going to be a part of it. And let me say, it's going to be costly. It's going to be a circumstance. It's going to be a situation. Jaws will fall to the ground. But you know what else I've found along the way? That just like this story, when one stands up and sees God show up, others will follow. Isn't that cool? JD took him out, man. And me and Doug and Tony and Tim and Scott, we all just charged right after him. Let's follow the boy. He's got it going. He's following God. Let's go get it. And God showed up. Not just because it's a cute little story, but I believe with all my heart, the charges, the defiling of God got David riled up. Made him want to draw the line. Made him angry to the point where he said, this cat's got to go. Have we gotten there yet? Have we gotten to the point that we're sitting there saying, we're not going to do this. Not going to happen. We're going to stand up and we're going to be counted. Because listen, when we do that, I promise God's going to show up. And when God shows up, remember, David will tell you, I didn't do that of my own strength. He said, it is the God you defiled who's given me the strength to do this, because I'm just representing him. That's all we are. We're representatives of him. Will we represent him? Will we do it well? Have we had enough yet? I think it's time to stand up. As always, I've said before, God works with, takes care of, and deals with his children. But he doesn't force his way into anybody's life. He stands at the door and he knocks. Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you saved? Whatever term you want to use, saved, born again, have you given your life to Christ, whatever it is, has there been that time in your life when you have surrendered and you've said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that even one sin is enough to send me to hell, and I was born with that because of the sin nature of Adam. But Lord, I don't want that anymore. Lord, I don't want to spend an eternity in hell that I can't even imagine eternity. I'd rather spend it with you. But Lord, I just don't want fire insurance today. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be the best friend you ever had. And I want you to be my best friend. And Lord, I want to grow in your grace and I want to grow in your wisdom. And he's saying today, I'm offering you all of that. But it will take your surrender. Because I'm not going to force my way into your life. I'm not going to force my way into your thoughts or your actions. I stand at the door and I knock. Will you let me come in? Folks, today, if that's the message that the Lord's put into your heart, simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I hear you today. Forgive me. Save me. In Jesus' name. And yeah, he's done that. If you did that, that's exactly what he's done. That's not some magical key. That's just communication with God. That's you expressing to him. And today there's rejoicing of the saints in heaven. There's the writing of your name in the Lamb's book of life. But that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. Now the Lord says, I've given you a book. This is my love letter to you. It's got all kinds of goodies in it. Start reading it. Listen, man, if your sweetheart wrote you a love letter, wouldn't you read it? Remember, I got notes in elementary school, and I couldn't wait to find me a corner to hide in and read what was going on. Wanted to know how they felt about me. Wanted to hear all the good, gooey stuff. Let me tell you, there's a lot of good, gooey stuff in here just for you. I challenge you to get in. Listen, if you accepted Christ today, let us help you on that road. It's called discipleship. That's the church term. Let us help you. It won't be a drag. You'll enjoy it. Let us know today if you've received Christ, if you're watching online, or if you're here. Let us know. We want to be able to help you start that journey. Maybe you're here today and you've sat back and you said, man, I've just been a sideline player. I have blended into the crowd. I have blended into the obscurity. I know I'm not what God wants me to be, and I need to stand up. I'm a little timid. I'm a little shy. I'm a little scared because the person that's doing all this is 9 feet 9 inches tall. Every one of us have some giants in our lives, don't we? The question is, are you understanding that it is God who will give you the power to stand in the face of the giant, not on your power, his power? to stand in the face of the giant and say, you will not defile my God. Because in the same manner that God gave David strength, he will give you strength. We serve the same God. And you will watch the Goliaths fall like big trees. But you got to step up. Or are you just Israel running back and forth for 40 days? There comes a time when you're going to have to make a move. What move will you make? Will you retreat or will you charge? I am grateful for those that have gone on before me in our country that gives us the freedom to stand here today and talk about Jesus. I am grateful to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before me, who preached the gospel message, because they cleared the path. They faced the giants. The giants are you facing today? Will you surrender them to them? Listen, if the Lord's spoken to your heart about that, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I see the giants in my life, but I see that you're bigger. Give me the strength, give me the courage to face the giants for your sake, for your honor, for your glory. Use me, Father, as your instrument in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you've made those decisions, I'm just going to ask you that wherever you are, you take this moment in time of invitation. There's no better time than the presence. Spend that moment in prayer with our Father. Solidify the decisions that you have made. Listen to what he has to say. As our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, as Miss Lynn plays.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I
God, just as I am. You don't have to fix nothing right now. You just got to give it to him and let him fix it. Isn't it great? And all God's people said, amen. Just a couple things before we go today. Don't forget, Awana, 5:30 for youth, 6 o'clock for everyone else. Got a couple more weeks. We're winding down this year that has been indescribable. But thank you for Tony, all of our Awana leadership, leaders, parents that have brought your kids. You have been faithful. It's been a crazy, crazy year, but thank you for being faithful
in light of coming through coronavirus and everything through this past year. We look forward to things just continuing to get better and picking back up. But last is the third Sunday, as 16th. That's perfect. The 16th of May will be the last meeting. That's going to be kind of the big wrap-up and everything. So for those of you who are watching who may not be a part of our church, but your kids are part of our Awana program, come on back. We're looking forward to seeing you tonight. Don't forget to be faithful to your tithe and offering. You've done well. I know we're getting ready to head into summer. There's going to be a lot of people that are traveling, that are in, that are out. So continue to remain faithful to that the Lord's work and his business can continue forward. If you're here, offering box is there at the door as you go out. If you're in the sanctuary, you can place that in the offering plates up front. And we're so grateful for your faithfulness. Don't forget, we currently have on-campus Sunday school. We have three classes that are currently meeting. Youth Sunday school meets up in the youth room. Kelly's Sunday school class, which is a combination of several adult classes, started meeting today as a hybrid format in the sanctuary. I think Kelly's class is 9:45 to 10:30, and Mike Nelson also has an adult class that is meeting here on campus. As you feel comfortable, as you start to gather back in, we look forward to seeing you. We're experimenting along the way. We're looking to try to do some major reentry at the end of the summer. It's going to be hard during the summer because so many people are in and out, but hopefully by around August we can have a little bit more of some form of normalcy. Now, I'm not saying normal will ever look like normal ever looked, but we will look forward to coming up with what that new route is, and pray for us as we work on putting the pieces together. What the vision for our church is based on our Lord. Thank you for participating in the month of prayer and fasting. I pray that God has spoken to your heart and to your life in a fashion that has changed you, not only for that month, but will continue. I pray that you have developed some disciplines along the way through that you will continue to maintain as you go forward. And I promise you, God will do some incredible things. Before we go, don't forget, once again, Awana tonight. Anything else I'm forgetting that I need to remember? I always forget something to remember it at the last minute. Blood drive is coming up Tuesday, right? There are probably some slots. You can go, if you can go online, go on the app, or you can call the church, and we will get you in touch with Katie Nelson, who handles that for our church. Church has done a fantastic job with that, so we'd love for you to be a part of it. If you can, give up a pint. As you go through this week, remember, a lot of folks, Celeste and Steve Bowie, moved back to where home was, but they celebrate an anniversary coming up this week. Tomorrow is Steve and Celeste's anniversary, so if you know them on social media or want to send them a card, you can do that. And then also our very own Edith and Bill will celebrate their anniversary on the 8th of this week. Edith's been going through a lot. Remember to keep her in your prayers, Shirley in your prayers, the family of Winnie Lewis in your prayers, and also continue to remember Judy Brazil, who's had a setback in her health. Just a lot of things that are taking place and going on. Folks, listen, I love you. I'm going to dismiss you in a word of prayer, but as always, and I don't say it just because it's habitual, I say it because we mean it, but God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being real in our lives. Thank you for the fact that you still call on us, Lord, to serve you, to be your hands, to be your feet. But Lord, I just pray you will give us the courage. I pray that you will give us the right heart and the right attitude, that when we see you are being defiled, that we won't stand for it. That, Lord, it will trigger the spirit within us to say that we don't want to be a part of that we don't want to remotely lend ear to it, but not only that we would stand up and be counted as your children. Lord, just like Israel, they had forgotten who they were. Lord, may we always be reminded of who we are today. Lord, and when we're walking so close to you, may it be one of those circumstances and situations that really irritates us beyond the fact that we can just hear it and turn the other way. But Lord, we need to take action. Lord, make us like David in this situation. We know you want to. Father, help us to find what our sling and smooth stones are
and help us, Father, to bloom where we're planted, because we're not where we are by accident. God, give us a great day. Use us in somebody's life as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.